Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
The root system of a tree is what holds it in place, keeps it stable, and provides strength and nourishment. Friend, how's your root system doing? Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we're going to study Rooted in Christ. Stay with us. If you don't have a healthy spiritual root system, then every other part of your life is impacted negatively. Your root system is what holds you in place when storms come and trials and difficulty. Your root system is what draws nutrients into your life and provides spiritual strength and stability and hope. And friend, the Bible says we're to be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. This program comes to you every Monday through Friday, and as we begin a new year, we're beginning with a new series, Rooted in Christ. I hope you'll take a moment to visit online, dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find on the website a link to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell that will help you become more rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ in the new year. You'll find links to lots of other resources that will help you to grow spiritually, and much more information about Pastor Chappell and his ministry at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today we're going to examine Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 15, a rooted people. Here's Paul Chappell.
For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ. The edification of the body of Christ. Now, let me tell you something. God has given pastor teachers and the Bible for the perfecting of the saints so that we could do the work of the ministry and so that we can edify the body of Christ. Now, listen, everything going on in society today is to tear you down. The television tears down our morals. And many times, people at work and relationships are trying to get you to skip church, not go to church. And many times, you're being pulled away from the things of God. And what we need is to be built up in the things of God. We need to be edified in the things of God. I need to be edified. I need to read the Word. I need to hear preaching. I need to be built up. And if I'm going to continue for God, then I've got to be edified, and you've got to be edified. And my friend, when God is edifying your life, don't take that for granted. When you are growing as a Christian, that is a privilege and a gift from God. And so the path of growth is a path of impartation. It's a path of continuing, perfecting, maturing, growing, edifying in our faith. And that's exactly the will of God for our life. But I want you to see, secondly, the priority of growth. The path of growth is a path of learning. It's a path of preaching and teaching. It's a path of sharing. But I want you to see the priority of growth. Why do you need to grow, and why do I need to continue to grow? Look what it says in verse 13. It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, God says, I want you to keep growing because my word is going to bring you into the unity of the faith. You see, the word of God, if it is preached and obeyed, is a word that brings unity. Lancaster Baptist Church is a church that has great unity because we have great commitment to the Word of God, and the Word of God is more important than any other person's word, and we do not have those who are claiming that their word is on an equal par with Scripture. My word is subservient to the Word of God. Your word is subservient to the Word of God, and Lancaster Baptist Church is a church of unity so long as we recognize the priority and the preeminence of the Word of God. And he says here, I want you to come into the unity of the faith. Now, our faith then is based in the Scripture. And let me tell you what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Listen, friends, if we're going to have the Word of God in our heart, then we're going to be growing in a righteous path. God says, I'm going to use my Word to help you grow in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. There's that word again, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, if you haven't figured it out by now, we believe the Bible is the infallible Word of God, that this book is a God-breathed, supernatural book, and that it has been given to us so that we can learn it and grow from it, so that we can stay on the path of our faith, and so that the priority can be the unity of our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, if we as a Christian people, and if we as a local church do not have this commitment, then we will lose the next generation of young people if we're not sharing the gospel with them. And you can't share it with them if you're not growing in it yourself. We can't teach it if we're not growing in it ourselves. This past week back in Washington, D.C., we met a lot of senior classes and other students from different schools. And many of them were there with what was known as the National High School Journalism Conference. It was sponsored by the JEA, the Journalism Educational Association. I think 3,000 or 4,000 students were there, public school students coming in. And while they were there, amongst other sessions, they went to a session on anti-bullying. And let me just say for the record, I'm against bullying. The church is against bullying. I don't think that we ought to curse or bully homosexuals. The Bible's clear about their lifestyle. We have every right to teach what the Bible says. But we're against bullying. But this man who's been in President Obama's office recently was invited to speak against bullying. Only one problem, that in the midst of his speech against bullying, he began to ridicule the Bible and ridicule Christ. And when a few teenagers began to walk out because Jesus and the Bible was being ridiculed, he began to curse at them. In his speech against bullying, he was intolerant and bullying towards Christians. And you mark that down, my friend, in this day in America, when we're getting farther and farther away from the Bible, people who want to talk tolerance are intolerant towards this book right here. Okay? We can't show you all the tape. It's too filled with cursing, but here's just a slice of it.
We'll just talk about the Bible for a second. We ignore in the Bible about all sorts of things.
He's telling these thousands of students to ignore the blankety-blank Bible about all sorts of things. You see, you better mark this down, and some of you perhaps today should consider whether to keep your children in the public school. For my four children, I looked at Psalm 1, which said that they should not be in the seat of the scornful. I'm troubled today with the tremendous attitude against God and the Bible that children are being exposed to, and that they're being told about the blankety-blank Bible and no consequences. And by God's grace, we're going to find out who funds such hate speech, and we're going to do our best to get it defunded. But I'm going to tell you, my friend, we need to recognize today that we have a responsibility to grow ourselves in the Word of God and to grow the next generation in the unity of our faith. And it's time for Christians to stand up and to grow in our faith and to know exactly what the Bible says and to stand up for the fact that the Bible is the Word of God. Oh, my friend, the Bible teaches us that we're to be steadfastly continuing in the apostles' doctrine, that we are with one mind and one spirit to stand fast for the faith of the gospel. So the priority today is the unity of our faith. And oh, I want you to understand how we need that unity in our homes and in our church today. Notice secondly, though, the second priority, that's the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Look at this verse again, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Okay? The knowledge of the Son of God. Now listen very carefully. Did you notice the Bible does not say the unity of the faiths? The idea that you're going to get all the different faiths to agree on Jesus is ludicrous. The fact is that the unity of our faith revolves around who Jesus is. And you'll notice that in verse 13. It says in verse number 13, the knowledge of the, what's the next phrase say? The what? The Son of God. Who is Jesus? Say it with me. The what? Colossians 2:2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the fullness of the assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ. Listen, the world, in order to be saved, must acknowledge the mystery of God and the Father in Christ. Someone says, I don't understand how Jesus could be a part of the Trinity. I don't understand how Jesus could be called the Son of God. Hey, I don't understand everything about the Trinity myself, but I believe it because the Bible says it's true. I believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, an equal part of the Trinity as the Son of God. And the priority of our growth is so that we can know our faith and so that we can preach our Christ and share our Christ with a lost and dying world. Last Monday was my 50th birthday, and to celebrate my youth, we decided to spend some time together, my wife and I, before the high schoolers came in. And I had preached in a couple churches back in that area on Sunday and Wednesday. And so as they were coming, we had the morning free, and my wife said, honey, what do you want to do? It's your birthday. I said, you know what I want to do? I want to go to Mount Vernon. I want to go back and see the home of George Washington and just kind of go through some of the things there. And so we weren't exactly sure where we were, how far to Mount Vernon, so I decided to catch a taxi, and that was an experience. And I tell you what, we got in the taxi, and I said to the fellow, I said, Mount Vernon. And he honestly said, where's Mount Vernon? What's Mount Vernon? I said, well, it's George Washington's house. George Washington. I kid you not, he said, who's George Washington? I got out a little brochure I had. I gave him the address. He had just come from Egypt a few weeks before. He said, if I can punch it in here, I'll punch it in. And he's trying to punch it in there and so forth. And he says to me in the process, what state? I thought, oh, when you have to tell the cab driver what state, you're in trouble. I told him it was in Virginia, and we got it plugged in there, and he got going on the way. And on the way over, we started talking to him. He said he's from Egypt, and I said, boy, we're praying for the Christians there. I'm concerned that the new government would not be kind towards Christians. I'm really burdened about that. And they said, oh, they'll be fine, they'll be fine. I said, you know, what I've found is that whenever Jesus is preached freely, a country becomes a better place. It's a better place. And he said, I believe in Jesus. He said, he's one of the prophets. We believe in Jesus. Oh, I said, I believe in him too. He's prophet, priest, king, and the Son of God. I said, have you ever thought about that God loved you so much that he came in the form of a man to die on the cross? He said, how can God have a son? I said, oh, it's amazing. The Holy Ghost came upon Mary. And that which was born of Mary was the very Son of God, miraculously born to redeem us from our sin. And I said to him, I said, for all who believe on Jesus Christ and repent of their ways, he will forgive them and give them a home. He said, God does not have a son. Show me in the Bible where God has a son. And I said, oh, I'd be glad to do that. And all the way to Mount Vernon, I shared with him. And he kept saying, God does not have a son. And I kept sharing other verses. Pretty soon my wife started to hit me. She was worried. And she was worried we weren't going to ever get to Mount Vernon. And so I figured, hey, this guy's got a cab. They allow him to drive around the Pentagon all day long. He can't be that dangerous. I mean, good night. I'm going to tell him about Jesus Christ. And we paid the fare and hopefully sowed some seed. And then we went in and we saw Washington's tomb. We saw the sarcophagus there and his shrine that they've built near Mount Vernon. And I looked above his tomb area, and I saw this verse on the wall. I am the resurrection and the life, saith the Lord. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And I thought, I can tell you why America became a great nation, because contrary to the hate speech that was given to those young people about the Bible, our founders did know Jesus Christ. They did trust in Jesus Christ. They believed he was the Son of God, and they believed that all who are in Christ will live again forevermore. And my friends, that message needs to be told everywhere in America, in the inner cities, in the countryside. We need to understand the necessity of staying on the path, because it's a pathway of growth, and the priority of our growth is because as I grow and as you grow, we can tell others about Jesus Christ. And frankly, if you're not involved in that in some way, I don't care what your golf score is, and I don't care what your salary is, and it really doesn't matter how much you've attained in this world. If you're not growing to the point that you're telling others about Jesus Christ, I don't know why God leaves us on this planet. Because we're here to tell that story about Jesus Christ. And we need to stay strong so that we can keep telling that story. Well, notice the path of growth. Notice the priority of growth is Jesus. Then notice thirdly with me and very quickly the permanence of growth. I don't have a lot of time left, but I want you to stop and consider with me. God doesn't have a 7-year warranty on the Christian life, or a 2-year, or a 5-year, or a 10-year. It's a forever warranty. And he doesn't want you in the best bar in Lancaster when he comes back. He wants you living for him when he comes back. And I want to speak to you for just a moment about the permanence of walking with God. I do everything I can to help married people stay married. I do everything I can to help teenagers love Jesus and stay in love with Jesus. And I want to do everything I can for the next few moments to help you understand that the Christian life isn't designed to go just so long until you get offended about something and then quit. And it's not just so long till you get your problems fixed and then quit. God wants you to stay on this path of growth until Jesus comes. Now notice what it says in verse 14. That we, henceforth, from right now forward, be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So God says, if you're going to permanently grow, first of all, you've got to be prepared. It's going to be through preparation. That you are no more like a child tossed to and fro, but that you are being prepared by the Word of God. That's why we encourage our young people to attend Christian school and many times 1 year of Bible college to get a foundation laid so that they can defend their faith, so that when they are ridiculed, and many times they are in the secular schools, that they will be able to stand for their faith. If they are going to permanently make it in this world, they have got to know what they believe and why they believe it. And so we must give them the teaching of the Word of God. Secondly, it's through precaution. They need to be warned, and we all need to be warned. Look at verse 14. It says that we will be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, I hate to tell you, but if you were to go to this National Journalist Association website and watch what I saw on YouTube, as that man talked about how he lusted for his boyfriend, and as that man ridiculed the Bible, and as that man made fun of Christianity, and as he twisted scriptures out of context, the vast majority of those students were clapping. And when the Christians were walking out, and thank God they did, they were being booed. Because the devil, in cunning craftiness, is lying in wait to deceive your 16-year-old. And the devil in cunning craftiness wants him to believe in evolution and wants him to turn away from that which is normal according to the Word of God. And the devil is doing everything he possibly can to derail Christian young people today from serving God. And we need some precaution. Hey, we need some warning signs. Hey, we need to get to church where we have not just a little jam session on the guitar, but where the Word of God is preached and where we are warned that we are living in a day when the devil wants to pull us away. Because we're to be sober and vigilant and watchful. Because our adversary, the devil, wants to carry us away from our faith. We need that precaution, you see. Humanism calls them, relativism, evolution, all of it telling them that God's word is not true. They need to learn how to try the spirits to see whether they be of God. Then thirdly, we're going to have to understand that permanence comes as we persevere in the truth. You say, well, I've had some trials, and my husband doesn't come to church with me. My wife doesn't come. My family's not what I thought it would be. Hey, you're here, and I want to challenge you. Don't quit. Stay true to your God. And look what it says in verse number 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Notice that phrase. Speaking the truth in love. I want to encourage you. Keep speaking the truth to your family. Keep speaking the truth to your neighbors. Listen, your friends at work, they're not ashamed about what they did at Vegas yesterday. Don't you be ashamed about where you are right now. Just speak the truth in love. I'm a Christian. I'm glad that I know the Lord. I'm not ashamed of it. Speaking the truth in love. Before we left to come home, one of the things we were able to do with the teenagers was to visit the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. If you've ever been there, it's probably one of the most moving experiences that you'll have if you love America, like I believe most of us do. Our students were able to lay a wreath at the tomb, and what was really notable to me, though, was the generational opportunity and those that were there in the generations represented. And what I mean by that is you'll notice, first of all, the tomb itself. The tomb represents a generation gone by, doesn't it? Those are the men and women who have paid the ultimate price. They have given their life already for America. But then over on the other side, you'll see the World War II veterans. And there was a nonprofit group that had flown in. There were probably more than 100 of them sitting in their wheelchairs. And as they had been flighted in to see the tomb and to see Washington, D.C., you could see many of those soldiers. They have fought their battles. They're probably doing what they can. They probably vote. If they're Christians, they probably go to church. But by and large, their battle is over. Tears came down their cheeks as the wreath was laid, and they were there remembering America. But in the foreground, you can see the men who still serve our country. And I think it's fair to say that had the men in the tomb not fought and sacrificed, not written manuals, and not developed strategies, then the men who defended us in World War II would not have had the edge that they had, would maybe not have had the victories that they had. And had the men that fought in World War II not gone and fought in the Asian realm and not fought in Europe, had they not defended us, we may not have had the freedoms that we have today. Somewhere, these men stayed on the path. They kept learning. They kept growing. They kept passing it down to the next generation. And you have those who are gone and those who are nearly gone, those who are still in and serving America. But then my eye as a pastor saw one other generation standing behind me. You see, those were the students of our school. They're not yet in the fight. They're about ready to graduate. They're about ready to go out and stand. And some of them in Bible college, some of them in secular school, wherever they're going. They're about ready to enter the ranks, if you will. But the fact is, we've got to do everything we can to pour into their heart an understanding of the Word of God, an understanding of the Christian history of this nation. We've got to help them understand who Jesus is, what the Bible is, how we got here, and where we're going. Because, my friend, if we don't, then Christianity is just one generation away from extinction. It's that important. It's that important. The path of growth is the Word of God in the local church. The priority of growth is that we might exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. The permanence of our growth comes only as we persevere in the truth, speaking the truth in love. And I want you to pray today. Listen to me. You as a 40, 50, 60-year-old person today, are you growing? And are you helping someone else to grow? And I want to say today, if you're a parent, how many of you have kids still at home? Let me see where you are. Listen, stay in that battle. Fight that fight. Stay on the path. Keep growing yourself. They're going to ask you questions. Be ready to give the answers. And let's realize today, God wants us to be a rooted people. Let's stay on the path of growth. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time to open the Bible and to learn about the path of growth. And I pray now, Lord, that you would help our church not to be a church that just comes in for social reasons, but that we're here, Lord, to learn so that we can change the way in which we live and the society around us and help our children, our children's children.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're studying in this series, Rooted in Christ, how to develop a healthy and a strong root system through our relationship with the Lord and our study of His Word, how to become grounded and rooted and settled in our relationship with Him. Friend, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? That relationship begins the moment you trust Him as Savior, the moment you place your faith in Him. And that happens when you call upon Him in belief and you say, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my heart and save me from my sin and save me from myself and give me your gift of eternal life. Friend, if you've never made that decision, we encourage you to make that decision right now. It's simple. It's vital. It's the greatest decision you could ever make. And if you have questions, we'd love to talk with you more about it. We do love to hear from listeners, and we enjoy hearing your feedback and knowing that our program is touching your life. There's a couple ways you can get a hold of us. First of all, by toll-free phone number. That is 1-800-201-7748. 1-800-201-7748. Or you can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. When you visit the website, you can click on the link to email us. or get a hold of us. We would love to hear from you. You'll also find many resources that will help you in your spiritual growth and in your relationship with Christ. Many resources that will help you do exactly what we're talking about in our present series, to become rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. And don't forget, you're invited to the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through 16th, 2014. Join Pastor Chapel and guests and friends from all over the country for a week of tremendous Bible teaching and preaching, Christian fellowship, wonderful music, and the beauty and grandeur of Alaska's Inside Passage. You can find out more information about the cruise or reserve your place when you visit again, dailyintheword.org. Don't forget, that's the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th, 2014. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.